We're just going to start the net, the initial part of the net, solar weather, HF propagation, space debris, asteroids. And then after that, I'll see if there are any additional check-ins or comments, and I'll have Tom come in if he's ready for the climate update. And then I will, at that point, I will do the in the sky this week, in the science trivia corner. Tom, if you're okay after that, you can come in with your presentation or presentations. And solar wind, 429 kilometers a second, so it's a little threshold for any sort of solar weather, significant solar weather right now. Density protons, 3.1 photons per cubic centimeter. Protons is the atomic nuclei of hydrogen, so we're not getting bombarded by too high a density of those today. Solar flux index 146. Sunspots, 123. We've had clusters AR 4419. Right through to 25. AR stands for active region, so we've got a few more sunspot clusters coming up there. There are sunspots, 123 of them. HF propagation, 80 and 40 meters right now during the day. Fair, nice, good. 30 right to 15, good both day and night. 12 and 10, fair during the day and poor night right now. And space debris, dropping. I include this each week, gives you an idea of how much debris is circling overhead of our planet. There's many more objects than what I go through here each week, but I just pick ones of a certain size just to give you an idea. If you do a Google search for space debris, they very often depict the Earth and this cloud going around it, so it gives you an idea just what's up there. As of today, 32,892 objects were tracked globally. Over my location, 1,992. Now, last week, 33,850 as of last week, so that's a 42 increase from last week till now. So you can see each week we're going up, up and up and up. It's dropping. And near-Earth asteroids, April 25th, today we had 2022 UU8, 8.7 lunar distances away from us. Distance the moon is away from us, 8.7 times that, 4 kilometers a second, 9 meters in diameter. And on June 21st, we have a big one. It's 2025 WC4, 10.2 lunar distances away, clipping along at 19.2 kilometers a second and 304 meters in diameter. So that's a big one. And that would be a city destroyer very easily. Just drop it. And I mention these each week. These are near-Earth objects. These aren't potentially hazardous objects, but these are just near-Earth. So mainly for cataloging purposes, they keep an eye on these. And that is it for the initial part of the net. I'll just stop here, see if there are any additional check-ins or comments, and then I'll give Tom a shout and see if he's ready with the climate update. If you'd like to join us, come on in.
Good evening, KC8, Box Queen Victor Mark, Ohio, United States, KCFQV.
Victor Echo 4, Golf, India, Sierra, Kurt, in Winnipeg. Just a quick in and out for now. Just listening as I eat supper.
I've got you checked in. Thanks for joining us.
You copy KC8, Fox Queen Victor. Mark, United States, Ohio.
Mark, I did. I've got you in there. All right, let me see if Tom's ready for the climate update. Tom, VH3VWX.
Yeah, good evening, Ken and all. Victor Alpha 3, Victor Whiskey X-Ray 4ID here. Sorry, I was just distracted here. I was just looking at the details. There was at the White House correspondence dinner, it looks like there was somebody in there that was armed and firing off rounds. I don't know anything about injuries or anything. Anyway, sorry, I was distracted by that. But yes, I'm good to go with the weather. Can I get a quick audio report, please?
Sounding good. V3RWJ.
Wonderful, definitely.
Hey, that's good enough for me. Okay, thanks so much, guys. All right, this is Victor Alpha 3, Victor Whiskey Extra Friday for the 90th time. My name is Tom, Tango Oscar Mike, and I'm in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I'm down the street from Ken, and I do the weather every week. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, depending on where you are. It's a big round planet with lots of different time zones. Okay, so let's talk about what's going on this past week in the weather. Sorry, I was very, very busy with work, so I haven't had too much time to put together a comprehensive review, but I know some people don't want a long weather segment, so they'll be happy about that. Let me drop it. All right, so here in North America, the Canadian prairies, unfortunately for them, it's been absolutely, it was warmer towards the beginning of the week, and then things changed. There was a low pressure system that developed, and it enveloped itself with Arctic air coming from the north, and as a result, moisture that was coming north from the south turned into snow, and things got pretty bad. Alberta, Fort McMurray, they saw about 20 to 40 centimeters of heavy snowfall. Other areas, Athabasca County, they saw 15 to 30 millimeters of rainfall with local flooding. This is all in Alberta, by the way. Sunninook, they had winds associated with it, with power outages, 96 kilometer an hour gusts. In Calgary, they had wind and blowing snow with these 91 kilometer an hour gusts, and there was hazardous travel. Saskatchewan, they got really slammed by the system. Some places, Saskatoon, they got about 20 to 25 centimeters. In the urban parts of the city, the northern regions, they saw 30 to 50 centimeters of snow. I should also mention that Churchill in Manitoba, cumulatively over about 3 days, they saw between 30 and 50 centimeters. So 30 centimeters is approximately 1 foot. So 50 centimeters is two-thirds of the way to 1 foot. Another 10 centimeters, 60, that'd be 2 feet of snow. So Churchill got a lot, and Meadow Lake, they had some significant rainfall as well. They got about 15 to 30 centimeters, and Highway 304, the bridge was damaged as a result. And then also, east central parts of Saskatchewan, they saw freezing rain, anywhere from a trace to about 5 millimeters, and that created some icing of utilities. So while that was going on, Lytton in BC, they reached they set the new high temperature for the year. They got up to 30 degrees Celsius early in the week, so they set the new high temperature for the highest temperature of the year in Canada. So that's a little early, but again, it's dry air, so it's not you have compressional warming right downslope over the mountains, so it's not a surprise. But they're off to a very warm start. Some other places. Bella Bella, they reported 20.9 degrees Celsius, which is a record high for them. So it's been very warm in parts of the interior of BC, while the parts of Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba have been very, very cold. Let me drop it. Also, this time of the year, I do like to look at Arctic regions, the Canadian Arctic, just out of curiosity, and still a sure sign of spring up there is an uptick in blizzards and weather like that. There's nothing significant widespread on the go right now, but over the past week there were some blizzard warnings and other things in effect for parts of the far north and areas sort of just south of the Arctic Circle. So that's a sign of spring. I know you're like, oh, it's almost May and they're still dealing with blizzards. Yep, a lot of those places up there, they don't start thawing out until mid-May into early June. Even places that aren't that far north, Newfoundland, right? It's not unusual for them to see snow in June. I don't know how people deal with that. I would lose my mind, but apparently our Newfoundlanders, they're pretty good at dealing with that stuff, so good for them. I can't handle it, but they can. Okay, let's talk about some big tornadoes across the states. Let me drop it. What I did want to mention is that while BC did have some really, really warm temperatures basically at the start of the week or the end of last week, let's say that, the interior of BC, they actually had part of this cold air mass did work its way down into the interior. I forgot to mention this. I'm sorry about that. Merritt, BC, they recorded a low of -7.2 Celsius, and that's actually that shattered a 102-year-old record that they had of -5.6 Celsius that was set in 1924. So there were also some other areas that got closer in some high elevation areas. Shetwynd in Burns Lake, they got down to almost -20 Celsius. So that's very, very cold for this time of the year, unusually cold. Okay, let's talk about these tornadoes. Let me cycle it. VA3VWX for ID. So from about the April 18th to the 25th, so far this has been the most active period of severe weather in the states. Numerous thunderstorms, numerous tornadoes, some violent, and much of this particular outbreak was centered on parts of Texas, Oklahoma, and southern Kansas. And again, not unusual this time of the year. A lot of cold air still working its way in, and some really, really hot air coming up from the Gulf of Mexico. So when those two clash and the dynamics come together, you get some good violent or big violent storms. So Thursday, April 23rd, 2026, there was actually a large and violent tornado that struck Enid, Oklahoma. The National Weather Service in Norman, they confirmed that the tornado was given a preliminary rating of EF4 on the Fujita scale. So very strong. That means that it had peak winds of 170 to 175 miles an hour, 282 kilometers an hour. And that's the base threshold for violent structural failure. And that's actually the first EF4 in Garfield County since 1991. And it had a path length of about between 9.5 and 10.7 miles, which is a fairly long duration. That's a fairly significant long track duration tornado. And it had a max width of about 500 yards. And it was on the ground for approximately 37 minutes. So a fairly large tornado. And interestingly enough, it developed at about 8:11 p.m. Central Daylight Time, and it touched down just south of Vance Air Force Base. And for those that don't know, Vance Air Force Base has a history of tornadoes. I'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. But it's one of four military bases in the U.S. and in the world, which is actually very popular for severe weather. If you want to see severe weather, including tornadoes, go get yourself stationed at Vance Air Force Base and you'll probably see a tornado over your career, probably multiple tornadoes over your career. As far as this one big particular tornado is concerned, about 40 homes were destroyed, and so some of the structures were completely taken off of their foundations, completely gone. And one neighborhood in particular, Gray Ridge, they were really, really hard hit. Widespread massive destruction there. Let me drop it. And while I did mention Vance Air Force Base, the base itself, the tornado did make it onto the base, but it didn't hit anything significant as far as I understand. It sort of took out some fencing and utility equipment and stuff, but there've been close calls at some of these bases where you've hundreds of millions of dollars of aircraft and a big tornado coming by, and there's been some hairy moments over the past. So, but all these bases, because of that, they do have procedures and protocols in place to deal with this. So far as injuries go, there were 10 to 15 injuries reported. I have not seen any fatalities yet, there was a tornado emergency that was issued by the National Weather Service for the Enid area, but surprisingly, again, that area is very well prepared for tornadoes. I didn't see any fatalities reported. Let me drop it. I won't go into all the details of the other tornadoes, but so far, as a result of, this past March 2026, there's been 203 confirmed tornadoes. And, so far in April, The preliminary count right now is 454. The 91 to 2020 average is 332. So that means that right now, the total, I should say, rather, is about 36.7% above average. From the start of the year,